Well, good morning and welcome to Sunday School. Take your Bibles with me and turn to Colossians chapter number 1. Colossians chapter number 1 is where we are this morning for Sunday School. I apologize for not having video. We've been doing a lot trying to get ready to open up the church. And so I'm excited about that next Sunday. If you have not gotten an email, if you haven't seen it on our website, or on our Facebook page, get ready for next Sunday. We are safely attempting to reopen the church, and so we're trying to get things all set. We've been working kind of freely around the church, not having people in, but now that we will have people in, we have to get things tidied back up just a little bit. Appreciate the many who've been putting in a lot of time and a lot of energy into getting things ready. I appreciate Mr. Rust very much. He's been working a lot of hours trying to get things set for that. I appreciate Mr. Krebs and Mr. Rogney, who have been working installing some of our dividers downstairs and our bathrooms, and so they're getting that all set up. They've spent several nights here doing that. I appreciate Kristen Keekafer and Sue B. And I appreciate very much Mr. Losher and his wife and Paul and Karen. We just had a lot of people putting in a lot of time. Mike Jonas has been doing a lot of trim for us. I appreciate that very much. So we had a lot of people doing a lot of stuff. And so I'm very thankful for that as we get ready to reopen. And how exciting is that? It's been way too long. We'll be able to come in. I encourage you to bring a mask if you feel like you need one. We'll try to have some here if you don't own one. But if you have one of your own, that would be great. Bring that with you. We'll have the auditorium. We're moving some chairs out and creating some space. And we're working on all of those little details. You got some information in an email. If you didn't get that or have questions about our return to the building, please address any one of our deacons, myself. You can call. You probably have to leave a message on the church phone because there's no one here on a regular basis to answer that, but I do come in quite often, and so we'll get that and get those back to you. Check our website out. Check out our Facebook page. All of that should be updated there on our Facebook or website. On our website, there should be a sign up there. If you are planning on coming next Sunday and want to be inside for the service, I encourage you, just sign up so that we can kind of get an idea so we know what we're working with. That would help us out an awful lot so we can kind of plan some seating and all of that good stuff. And so if you'd like to help us out, sign up if you can be here next Sunday and want to join us inside the church as we open the doors back up. Here in Colossians chapter number 1, Colossians chapter 1, look at verse 15 with me. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, the Bible says this: "Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence." Our gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, I thank you for the reading of your word. I pray your blessing upon it. Lord, I pray that you'd be with our deacons as they've been working a lot, spending a lot of time investigating and researching and thinking and planning and putting together a strategy so we can open our doors and do so safely, Lord, in a manner that would be honoring and glorifying to you. So, Lord, I pray you be with them and help them. Lord, I pray you be with us this morning as we think on Colossians, as we think about this very important point as we move forward. Lord, I pray that you would instruct us and teach us today in this Sunday school hour. And we'll thank you for it. It's in your name I pray, amen. The desire of God's heart is what? What is it that God desires? And I'm here to tell you this morning, and this is crucial for you, it's crucial for me to understand, because it's not about you, it's not about me, but the desire of God's heart is that in everything, Jesus Christ might have the preeminence. Jesus Christ would take first place, and it'd be about Him and only Him. That's what preeminence means. Paul declares that everything finds its meaning and significance in the person of Jesus Christ. Christ must be at the center of all things in our individual life, and especially here at this church, because it's not about you and it's not about me. It's not about anything else but about Him. It's about Him, and we need to understand that, and we need to realize that this morning. We claim that Christ is the center of the church, but my question for you this morning, is He? Is He the center of Bible Baptist Church? Is He the center of your life? One author said this, "The present position of Christ in gospel churches may be likened to that of a king in a limited constitutional monarchy. The king, sometimes described by the term the crown, is, in such a country, no more than a traditional rallying point, a pleasant symbol of unity and loyalty, much like a flag or a national anthem. He is lauded, feted, and supported, but his real authority is small. Nominally, he is the head overall, but in every crisis, someone else makes the decisions." Consider with me the impact of having Christ at the center of our church, or even more practical for you this morning, having Christ at the center of your home, or having Christ at the center of your life. Is Christ receiving the preeminence in everything? When Christ is central in the church, in the home, in your life, there is harmony in worship. There's harmony in worship. All of creation's object is to give preeminence to Christ and to stand in awe and adore Him. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 6, the Bible says this, "And again, when He bringeth in the first begotten into the world, He saith, and let all the angels of God worship Him." In Revelation 13 verse 8, "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship Him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." The object of authentic worship is utilizing all of our gifts and all of our talents that God has placed within the body of believers to bring honor and glory to God. When Christ is not central, when He's not the center focus of worship, we'll get sidetracked and we begin to focus on style. We begin to focus on mode. We begin to focus on personality. And it's not about any of those things, but it's about Jesus Christ and about Him being central in our worship. If Christ is not the central, then everything else, such as a sanctuary or a hymnal or multimedia or a soloist talent, can become unconsciously the center of worship. In man-centered worship, it brings people in or keeps people by the style of our worship service, whether it's traditional, whether it's contemporary, whether it's liturgical or charismatic. That's the primary goal of worship, whereas the focus ought to be that of standing in awe of Almighty God and our Redeemer. Romans chapter 14, verse 5 and 6. "One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth, eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks." Please note the scene in heaven. In Revelation chapter 4, verse number 6, the Bible says this, "And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne And round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had the face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Do you see the scene? This is John seeing the scene in heaven and what's going on in heaven. I love this passage, Revelation chapter 4. I love this. It talks about these beasts. And don't get wrapped up in trying to figure out what all of this is right now. We can save that message for a different one. But these beasts are before the throne. And the four beasts, according to verse number 8, had each of them six wings. They were full of eyes. And notice this next phrase. And I want you to think about this with me just for a moment. And they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And so day and night, without stop, these beasts are worshiping, are focused on, are shouting and are praising, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And what happens when the beasts, so this is going on in heaven day and night. And what happens when the beasts do this? And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne who liveth for and ever, the 24 elders, they fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne. And so these beasts, night and day, are constantly worshiping God, are praising God, are crying out, Holy, holy, holy. And while they do that, the elders are falling down and casting their crowns, and this is going on in heaven. What a beautiful picture. Where's the focus? It's on him. It's on Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter the beast. It doesn't matter the elders. What matters is the one standing in the midst. What matters is the one who is worthy. What matters is the one who the Bible says is holy, holy, holy. What matters is him. And we lift our voices and we cast our crowns and we worship him nonstop. When you come into church, is that your attitude? When Christ is at the center, it's not about who's playing the piano. It's not about who's preaching. It's not about who's sitting in front or sitting behind. It's not about the Sunday school teacher. It's not about anything else. It's not about the decorations. It's not about multimedia. It's not about those things. When we come to church, and I pray for Bible Baptist Church, it always has been, and I pray it always will be, it's all about serving and worshiping Jesus Christ. May he continue to get the preeminence in our worship. When Christ is central in the church, there is harmony in worship. Notice all of them just fall down together and worship together because he's being exalted. Listen, when there's not harmony, it's because your focus is wrong. When there's not harmony in our worship of Christ, when we come together and we want to sit on the opposite side because we don't want to sit next to somebody and we don't want to have to look at somebody, when there's not harmony, listen to me, your focus is off. Your focus is on the wrong thing. Number two, when Christ is central in the church, there is unity in its fellowship. Not only is there harmony in worship, because we're all given our gifts and our talents, and we're all worshiping God with all that we are, with all that we have, and all that we ever hope to be. We give to Him and worship together, and it's beautiful, but there's unity in the fellowship. Bible says this, Psalm 133, verse 1, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. When Christ is not the central focus of the church, conflicts arise. Individuals begin to seek having things done their way and talk about my church. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but notice, as unto carnal." Why? "Even as unto babes in Christ, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you," what? "Envying, strife, division. Are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I'm a Paul, and another, I'm Apollos. Are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who then is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as our Lord gave to every man." James asks, "From whence comes wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members?" The word wars comes from a Greek word meaning an encamped army. It's a phrase used to illustrate a continuous state of war. It's the result of wanting our way instead of His way. It's putting us at the center as opposed to keeping Christ central. The Greek conveys the idea of selfish satisfaction. 38% of pastors reported leaving a pastoral position due at least in part to conflict. Top reason for the conflict? Control. Control. I know I'm leaving, and I praise the Lord for bringing me here, and it's going to be hard to leave here, but I know Christ is doing it. Why? Because as far as I know right now within my church, people don't want me to go. And that's a great thing. It's a heart thing. I know we've hurt people. But I know that God has better for you. Why? Because if I was it, He would have left me. But God in His divine wisdom has called my wife and I to another place. And man, are we going to miss you guys. Man, is it going to be hard. But right now, I'm thankful that I'm not leaving because of control issues. The only issue that I have is, God, I don't want to leave. But God, You're in control. And that's okay. "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus." When Christ is the heart of the church, there is unity. Some have said Jesus is a central figure in our togetherness. Imagine a large circle with many spokes of lines all running toward the center. The closer the spokes or the lines come to the center, the closer they are to each other, the closer that you get to Christ, the closer you are to each other. The closer we come to Christ, the nearer we shall be to one another. By the way, when you got aught against your brother, you're going the opposite direction. When there's conflict, you're in the opposite direction. You're not getting closer, not only to each other, but also you're not getting closer to Christ. Remember that. When Christ is the heart of the church, there is unity. Galatians 3:28, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then ye are Adam's seed and heirs according to the promise." When Christ is central in the church, there's harmony. When Christ is central in the church, there is unity. And when Christ is central in the church, number three, there is focus to its purpose. When Christ is not central in the church loses its focus. Its purpose and mission become very much unclear. Let me ask you, why does the church exist? Why does a church exist? In a survey of 1,000 churches who were given two choices, why does the church exist? How would you answer this question? to win the world for Christ or to care for the needs of its members? What's the purpose of the church? To win the world to Christ, or is the purpose of the church to take care of the needs of the members? The response by pastors was 90% to win the world for Christ. And 10% of the pastors responded to care for the needs of its members. Of the church members surveyed, 89% said the church's purpose is to take care of my family's needs and my needs. The surveyor concluded that for many churches, the role of the pastor is simply to keep the sheep who are already in the pen happy and not lose too many of them. Only 11% said the purpose of the church is to win the world for Jesus Christ. And so there's this back and forth. There's this back and forth. My prayer for Bible Baptist Church is that the central focus of this church is and always will be to win souls for Jesus Christ. We can get focused on a whole lot of other things. And if we're not careful, there are things that really don't matter. Winning souls for Christ. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saint, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Matthew 28:18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. When Christ is not at the center of the church, the fires and love and mission grow cold. Revelation 2, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they're apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my sake has labored and has not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. Why? Because you left your first love. The church today is going after everything but Christ. We too often are more excited about program than we are seeing the power of God. We want things pretty and convenient and neat and orderly. It's all about program. When Jesus Christ came, he came for the sinners. He didn't come for those who were whole. He came for those who needed the physician, because he is the great physician. I'm here to tell you, if your church, if our church, if this church, if churches aren't messy because they're reaching the lost, we've got a problem. There is focus on its mission. Number four, and we'll close with this last one. When Christ is central in the church, there is clarity and power in its message. There's clarity and power in its message. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 8 asks the question, for if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? Los Angeles Times recently printed a sampling of signs from around the world that attempted to communicate in English. In a hotel elevator in Paris, please leave your values at the front desk. On the door of a Moscow inn, if this is your first visit to Russia, you are welcome to it. In a Soviet newspaper, there will be a Moscow exhibition of arts by 15,000 Soviet Republican painters and sculptors. They were executed over the past 2 years. In a Bucharest hotel lobby, the lift is being fixed for the next day. During that time, we regret that you will be unbearable. Well, that may be true. As silly and as fun as some of those can be, what's sad is the church communicates a message that isn't clear. The church message has to be clear. It must all be about the person of Jesus Christ. There's no other message. He is our message. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:2, for I am determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Christ must be at the center of all that is preached. Christ must be at the center of all that is taught within this church. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Verse 21, for after that, in the wisdom of God, 1 Corinthians 1:21, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jew require a sign, and the Greek seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greek, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. I'm here to tell you, if Christ isn't preached in this church, if Christ isn't central in your life, you are operating without the power of Almighty God. You can have the greatest programs that are out there. You can have the best music that is out there. You can have audio, visual. You can do all of that. You can have a beautiful church. But unless we're talking about and preaching about the power of God in the person of Jesus Christ, we are wasting our time. It must be about Christ. Because if it's not about Christ, we have no power. How do you help someone whose marriage is falling apart? How do you help someone who's just lost a loved one? How do you help someone who is struggling with some medical conditions? How do you help someone just lost their job? How do you help someone who is struggling with addiction? How do you help somebody who's struggling with their kids? I'm here to tell you the answer is Jesus Christ. It always has been and always will be. Jesus said, I am. What's your struggle today? I'm here to tell you the answer is Jesus Christ. Let me ask you, what's your problem today? I'm here to tell you the answer is Jesus Christ. He's the great physician. Jesus Christ is the great I am. You have a need, He is. You thirsty? He's living water. You hungry? He's that bread. He will supply your every need, not your wants, your every need. Why? Because He is the great I am. He is the creator of the universe. You want to fix your marriage? Talk to Jesus Christ. He's the one who came up with the idea. He's the one who created you, who knows you, and can help you. You want to help your children? The answer is in the power of Jesus Christ. You want to fix that addiction and you want to break free from it? I'm here to tell you the answer is not in 10 steps. The answer is found in Jesus Christ. I'm here to tell you this morning in Sunday school, Jesus Christ must be central in all that we do. He must be central in this church. He must be central in your home. And He must be central in your own personal life. Because when He is, there will be harmony in your worship. There will be unity in your fellowship. There will be focus in your mission. And there will be clarity and power in your message. Our gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, I pray that You would have the preeminence in our lives. Have the preeminence in this church. Have the preeminence, Lord, in our homes. Lord, I pray that You'd help us to keep You central. It's so easy to get diverted and lose focus of what's most important. But God, it's not about me. It's not about us. Lord, what's most important is You. Lord, may we never forget that. May You have the preeminence, Lord, I pray in Your name. Amen.